I am not a fool, I tell Valak, the commander's chief of security, accepting his offer to become the commander's food taster instead of facing execution. The alternative is clear: certain death by hanging or possible death by poison. As a convicted murderer awaiting execution in Ixia's dungeons, this unexpected opportunity feels like a miracle, albeit a dangerous one. Valak explains the position's lethal nature with chilling directness. I'll receive daily doses of butterfly's dust poison, requiring an antidote every morning to survive. Miss a dose, and I'll die painfully within 2 days, my organs shutting down one by one. It's a lifetime appointment with no days off and the constant threat of assassination attempts against the commander becoming my death sentence. My new quarters are sparse, but still a vast improvement over my prison cell: a narrow bed, wooden desk, and a tiny wood stove. What catches my attention is the window shutters that lock from the inside, with the ground only 5 feet below. Escape seems tantalizingly possible, except for one crucial detail. Without the daily antidote, I'd be dead within 48 hours. The other servants give me a wide berth, whispering behind their hands. This is my new reality, alive, but existing on the knife's edge between survival and death, with few allies and many who wish me harm. Each meal I taste for the commander could be my last. My training begins immediately. For 2 weeks, Valak teaches me to detect poisons by smell until my senses heighten remarkably. Then comes the true test. I must taste my love, a deadly poison from Citia. It tastes like sour apples before dissolving into terrifying hallucinations. I wake in my room covered in vomit. After cleaning up, I overhear Brazel's soldiers discussing my fate before venturing out for food. In the kitchen, I meet Rand, a tall cook with a stiff leg who won wages betting on my survival when most bet against me. He reveals Valak has tested and killed 5 previous food tasters, including his friend. Later, while fleeing Brazel's guards, I bump into Valak. When they demand General Brazel's prisoner, Valak swiftly defeats both despite their drawn swords. "It's a dirty way to fight, but I'm late for lunch," he explains. I now understand. Brazel wants me dead for killing his son Riyadh, the commander granted me reprieve, and Valak protects me only because I serve a purpose. General Brazel pounds the oak table in the commander's war room, demanding my execution. I'm haunted by his son Riyadh, the man I murdered, whose slashed throat drips phantom blood only I can see. Brazel claims my existence insults his family's honor. The commander remains impassive until Valak defends me as the brightest food taster we've ever had, his words carrying a steel warning to Brazel. Though ordered to leave me alone, Brazel's cold eyes promise this isn't over. No one knows the horrors driving my actions. Rayad's ghost follows me, taunting me with suppressed memories. The worst flashbacks come at night. The fire festival where I'd won the acrobatics competition, only to be caught by Riyadh in a deserted alley. I killed Riyadh not just because of his assaults, but because he drunkenly boasted about training a new girl from the orphanage. I couldn't let another child suffer. Despite my determination to trust no one, I formed tentative friendships in unexpected places. Rand, the cook with the stiff leg, becomes my first ally, sharing food and information while warning me about the betting pool on my survival. Soldiers Ari and Janko become my self-defense instructors after I help Valak during a fugitive exercise. "You've got good instincts," Ari says, "but instincts aren't enough. They teach me combat skills during their off-duty hours." Even Marin, who initially calls me the puker, eventually allies with me when I propose exchanging her archery lessons for Ari and Jenko's close combat training. The most complex relationship develops with Valak himself. My view of him as merely the commander's feared assassin changes when I discover his hidden passion for sculpture. Butterflies with wings so delicate they seem ready to flutter away. This revelation of artistry in a killer forces me to question everything. Four men abduct me from the fire festival, and a blacksmith tries to strangle me with a wire garrote. A seemingly drunk man intervenes, revealing himself as a skilled fighter who defeats all attackers using only a pewter beer mug. A tall, dark-skinned woman begins singing an eerie melody that overwhelms my senses. Before I lose consciousness, Valak's voice breaks through. The woman vanishes, and Valak identifies her as a southern magician, creatures I thought existed only in stories. I'm stunned. Magic is forbidden in Ixia, punishable by immediate execution. Later during a forest exercise, I encounter this woman again. She introduces herself as Iris, fourth magician of Cydia, and reveals I possess untrained magical abilities. Without proper guidance, she warns, my wild power will eventually cause a devastating flameout. This explains my survival instincts, poison detection abilities, and rapid combat progress. But this knowledge makes my situation perilous. If Valak discovers my abilities, I'll face immediate execution. As food taster, I uncover schemes surrounding the commander. General Brazel's new factory produces Crayola chocolate dessert the commander consumes daily. I'm captivated by these brown squares' rich flavors when first tasting them. Valak questions if I feel addicted while I experiment with fermenting mysterious pods I suspect are Crayola's main ingredient. The political landscape shifts when the commander names Brazel his successor, alarming since Brazel hates me. Valak grows concerned when the commander unexpectedly agrees to meet a Sichian delegation after 15 years of refusals. I'm shocked when Iris, the master magician who once tried to kill me, leads the delegation. During a feast, she offers a toast with poisoned cognac. I notice the commander's face becoming increasingly vacant, his intelligence fading. Advisor Mogan is controlling his mind through the Crayola, which contains theobroma, an ingredient that opens minds to magical influence. During the commander's visit to Brazil's district, Modkin captures me and takes my antidote flask. At the factory, I notice joyless workers and advisors with increasingly blank faces like the commander's. After escaping to the forest, I unexpectedly connect with Iris's mind. She explains I'm focusing magic when fighting, which helps me anticipate opponents' moves. Valak and I infiltrate the manor and discover a room with emaciated people chained in circles, former orphans Modkin uses to amplify his power. Captured in Brazel's dungeon, Valak reveals the truth. Butterfly's dust doesn't exist. My cramps are withdrawal symptoms from the antidote itself, a drug called White Fright. After defeating Modkin, we free the commander from mind control. Learning of my magical abilities, the commander mentions signing my execution order, but hints it's only valid in Ixia, suggesting escape. As our group prepares to cross the southern border, Valak promises we'll be together again.